is that he loves me. You know, when I sing that, when we sing that song, I always like to point out that we say it three times. Yes. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes. It's kind of like you forgot, so we got to say it three times. You know, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit, whatever you do, is that yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes. Yeah, Jesus loves me. You want me to resolve it? The Bible tells me so. So, I mean, yes. Isn't that powerful? I don't know. It doesn't do something for you, but it does something for me. Is to say yes. You know, all the promises in him are yes and amen. All his promises are yes and amen. Let's look over at Luke chapter 1 for a moment. I want to make an introduction to you. It's a little early for Christmas, but I'm not gonna go there. But what I want to look at is Zacharias as he is asked about John the Baptist, when John was born, and see what he's had to say about this son, because you remember he wasn't able to say a whole lot during the time that Elizabeth was pregnant with John, because he had doubted, and he had to keep God's promise on track. It is kind of funny that God would just shut you up. Amen. Isn't that funny that God would just kind of keep that guy quiet? You know, how can these things be? You know, okay, fine. You just keep your mouth shut for about 9 months. I mean, what would that be like? You know, you say something, then God just shut your mouth for 9 months. Probably be good for you. Amen. Not too, maybe take a little tablet for business, you know. Laryngitis. What's wrong with you? It'd be hard for you to carry on your business. Amen. Hard for a preacher to have his mouth zipped shut for 9 months, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be a tough one. So he says now, so he had his mouth shut for 9 months, and then all of a sudden, you know, his name is John. What is his name? His name is John. So he gets to talk and name him. And his mouth was open, verse 64 in chapter 1 of Luke. Yeah, turn over one or two pages. It's a long chapter. And his mouth was open immediately, talking about Zacharias, and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. So what he had done, actually didn't even get to say the name John. He wrote it down. His name is John. Then all of a sudden, that's interesting too, is that you could actually write something down by faith and God would release your mouth. Amen? I mean, even if you write it, maybe you're writing something in your journal. You're writing a testimony, or you're writing, you know, whatever God said. If you write it down, whatever God said, he'll open your mouth. Wouldn't that be good? So you open your mouth. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child is this going to be? Man, this must be important. What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost. That used to happen too. You'd get prophets and priests who were filled with the Holy Ghost. This is before the baptism of the Holy Spirit was given. And Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. And here's what he said. I'm going to read you this. This is what he said about John. But then Jesus said something later that made a new application of this. And I just want to read you what it is first, and then I'll give you the further application in a few minutes. And so Zechariah says in verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation, a ruler of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all the days of our life." Now talking to the child, and Zechariah is talking now to his child. He said, "And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness." How about that? "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the days of his showing unto Israel. Now look over at the seventh chapter of Luke, verse 28. And we'll read one verse. "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Okay, you remember that part, right? So I say unto you, among those born of women, there is not, and that's like everybody. Among those born of women, and we could go all into a whole nother area of our society about where babies come from. They come from one gender. Women. Men don't bear children. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Takes two. Takes men. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yes. Takes men and women. Amen. "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. What? That gives me hope. Amen. That'd be like me. I could take that one on, right? But then I'm going to go back over to chapter 1 and read John's mission and John's assignment here is that he has visited and redeemed his people. You know what? Not only through John, but guess who? Through Eric. He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. He's visited and he redeemed his people through the words of Paul's mouth. Amen? In other words, you are, let's read it, keep reading it, because I want you to receive this. I want you to say, "This is me." I want you to have an amen for this. Amen? All right. So he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has visited and redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation," that's a ruler for us, "in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." So in other words, he talked about Jesus, talked about the hope of the gospel since the world began, since Adam, since Eve, since God promised in the garden that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, that the oath which he swore, and the oath which he swore to our fathers, to our father Abraham, that he would grant to us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Isn't that powerful? Is that, and he's using you, not only John, listen, here's what I'm saying. He's not using just John, but now he's using you. And he's using you where you are. He's not using you in Kentucky, you know, if you're in Texas. He's not using you in the barbershop if you're at Lockheed. You know, he's using you where you reside. As you worship and praise and glorify and meditate upon the promises of the Lord, he is working in you and through you the same as he did in John the Baptist, who is the greatest prophet born of women, except that he, she, that is least in the kingdom of heaven, being infilled by the Holy Spirit, having believed that Jesus is the Christ, is greater than he. You who have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you are greater than John. Jesus said, the works that I do and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. What happened when he went to the Father? Why did he do that? He told you, he said, if I do not go away, who will not come? Who is the Comforter will not come. Who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. And it is necessary that he come. Because if he did not come, then you would not be who you are today in Christ Jesus. He went to the Father, he returned, he went to the Father delivered his blood to the sacrifice. And he came back that night, very night, the night he raised, came back that very night, and he breathed on them, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So he breathed on them, and they received it right now. Not 40 days later, 50 days later. He did tell them, though, before 40 days after that, that he said when he was ascended that day, 40 days later, he said, wait in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you be endued with power from on high. Don't go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high. So they waited and they prayed and they stayed in one room together for 10 days. And that date turned out to be the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, which is already a fulfillment of a feast in Israel. So it's not just Pentecost, and Pentecostal is not a Christian word, it's a Hebrew word. Amen? It's not something we made up for Christians. No. It was a fulfillment of the Hebrew priest. It's a fulfillment of the Hebrew calendar, is the day of Pentecost. All right? So on that day, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. But what I'm sharing with you here today, back over here in Luke chapter 1, we look at verse 76. And you, child, I'm going to take a leap of faith, based on the 7th chapter, verse 28, which I've just shared with you, that he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. And you, child, that is Paul, or Mara, or Michelle. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. Now that's prophet, little p, not big p in your, okay? Just a prophet, just one who brings forth an utterance. I'm not giving you an office today. For you shall go before the Lord, the face of the Lord, to prepare his ways. That's what you're doing. No matter what you're doing, where you're going, what your day is like, you're going before the Lord to prepare his way. Huh? Isn't that right, Joyce? Yeah, you might go to Australia to do that. You know, it might happen. Or you just might go to work, Jamie. You just might go to work, and you may be preparing his way there. Because it doesn't matter where he sends you, that's where you're preparing his way. Because, you know, wherever I take the light bulb and turn it on, where does the light show up? Where I am. Amen? If I had a little lantern, little light bulb, and I just carry it in here in this dark room, which is called Lockheed, and I just, hey guys, or click your Bic, whatever it is, you know, turn that light on. Where does the light show up? In China? No. It shows up right there. It shows up right there in that room. It shows up right there where I am. And see, you are a light, and so wherever you go, light shows. Amen? Wherever you are. So Jesus didn't say, be the light of the world, did he? He said, you are, you am. I am. You are. Glenn, you're the light of the world, red hair or not. You know, you're the light. You are the light of the world because the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. You show up and things change. You know what? I'm just reading the Bible. For you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Amen? Now, how many know John's job wasn't all that easy? I mean, he had a little trouble. I think he lost his head. Literally. He didn't necessarily run into no trouble, and you won't either. You won't either. You'll run into a lot of trouble. Amen? Anybody had trouble? I'm just saying, you know, number one in the world you have trouble. The Bible said, be of good cheer. For Jesus said this, be of good cheer. Cheer up, because I've overcome the world. But the first thing I want you to hear today is that you, being least in the kingdom of heaven, that is, if you're comparing somebody to in an office kind of thing, where Jesus said that John is the greatest prophet born of women. But you, who are in Christ, are greater than he. Because you have that permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you have the life of God dwelling on the inside of you. And it's not about what you did or did not do. It's not about what you're doing or not doing. It's about believing that what he has said, he is able to perform. He is able to perform in you all that he promised. Even what we read here, he's able to perform all of that in you, and he's doing it right now. He's doing it daily. As you meditate upon his promise, he's getting the job done. Just because you trip over your flesh and your feet doesn't mean that you have given up the ghost. Amen? We repent, we save Jesus. That was evil. We know that in our flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. But he is not interested in shaping up your flesh. What he's interested in is causing that shaping up to come from the inside out. It's what he's doing. So as we meditate upon his promise, he is working out that salvation, and my flesh is fearful and trembling. If you look at Philippians chapter 2. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is in you. So in other words, the problem here with that flesh is the fact that God is in you, willing and doing, and the flesh is under a lot of, the flesh is in a lot of trouble. The flesh is in a lot of, we're in a world of hurt because the Spirit of the living God is on the inside destroying the works of the flesh, destroying the power of what your mind, will, and emotions have been raised to figure out how to get by in this world. Anybody raised in this world? Let's try that again. Anybody raised in this world? Anybody raised on Mars? Don't think so. So if you're raised in this world, you're raised in a manner which brings up all kinds of ways to deal with trouble. Amen? We come up with all kinds of ways. We punch people out. We swear at them. We shoot them. We make all kinds of schemes to get them back. You know, we're going to work on this so that we come out on top. It's dog eat dog, right? You know the golden rule. Do others before they do you, right? Amen. That's how we learn to live in this world. But Jesus said something different. He said, bless those that despitefully use you. Do good unto them who hate you. Oh man, that's stupid. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that with kids in the room. Doesn't make any sense to do good to those that hate you. It doesn't make any sense at all. Jesus said it. He said, love your neighbor. Well, my neighbor's no good. Well, no doubt your neighbor's no good. Look at his neighbor. It's not much better. So Jesus said, all of these things. He said, what did he say? You start talking, you forget things. He said, in the world you have trouble. You have tribulation, but cheer up. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now look at James chapter 5. Okay, James chapter 5. Let's start with verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. So all of these things that are going on in your life, all the trouble that may be appearing and rising up, anybody ever, you know, you got trouble that comes, you know, I don't care if it's a bill, I don't care if it's a loss of a job, I don't care if it's an in-law and an outlaw or somebody at work. He says, be patient, brethren, he's talking to you, unto the coming of the Lord. Wow, that's maybe, who knows when that's going to be. Behold, the husbandman, that is the gardener, waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. That is the one who has had good seed planted. Just like, you know, when the sower sows the word and is bringing forth, and it's going to bring forth fruit. It's like, when? When you plant the seed, you have a general idea that it's going to come up, but you don't know when. Sometimes when Jesus is planting seed, you don't know what seed he's planting. Amen? You may not know what he's working on. Anybody ever notice that? You don't know what he's working on. Sometimes you want to see your own. Sometimes you see your own sins, and you want to work on them because you think you might know what the next one to work on is, right? Because you happen to see that one. But you know what? God doesn't do it that way. What he does is he works on the one he wants to work on. So as you spend time in his presence, as you worship the Lord, as you give praise to him and thank him that he's set you free from all sin. Just be bold. Say, thank you, Jesus. You know, you've confessed the sins that you did have, and you don't have any sins that you can think of. God, I thank you that I'm pure. Thank you that I'm clean. Amen. Just go ahead and, God doesn't, he's not mad at that. He just said, well, here, let's work on something, He's very happy that there's no sin in your life, so he'll just work on something else. How many know that pruning is for a branch that's growing and producing fruit? Well, God, you see, God's not pruning you because you're not producing fruit. He's pruning you because you're doing your fruit is coming out of you. So what he's doing is making the branch more efficient. And he's getting rid of any dead wood. He's getting rid of any of the parts that are hindering that plant from producing even more. So it's not chastisement in the sense that, well, you've done wrong, I'm going to whip your bottom. No, what he does is he's excited to see the garden grow. And so what he does, he'll prune back. And, ooh, wow, that wasn't pleasant. It's something maybe that you, maybe it's something in your goings that you are pretty comfortable with, But how many know when you get a little bit comfortable, that's when things start to kind of deteriorate. When you get comfortable and, like, for instance, you don't paint the house, well, it starts to peel, and then the wood begins to rot. So if you're not now I'm not talking about you keeping it up. What I'm talking about is God wants to do this. Because this is what God does, okay? So God is keeping up his garden. Guess who? You're God's garden. You're God's garden, and he's keeping up the garden. He's doing the work in the garden. And the garden is producing fruit. And the fruit is not eaten by the plant. The fruit is not eaten by the branch. How many know when the branch appears to produce fruit, where's the fruit really coming from? It's coming from the vine, isn't it? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you're in me, you'll produce fruit. If you're not in me, you don't produce anything. It's just where the fruit shows up. The fruit shows up on the end of the vine. And so when that fruit shows up, then others can receive from the husbandman, from the garden that the husbandman has planted. And so you are one who displays and makes fruit available for somebody who is needing it. Amen? So it's not, the fruit is not about you. The fruit is just because the branch is fully nourished, isn't it? The branch has always got, man, it's got plenty of juice flowing through that branch. That branch has everything that's needed, and then the branch produces fruit, and the fruit is just a demonstration of the power and the provision of the vine, isn't it? And so you want to join, I want to join into that vine. I want to get grafted in. Somebody said, man, I like what I see out there. And this guy that God brought Paul to Lockheed is really, man, as glorious for me, because it says the brother who's out there or the guy who's looking, because he's not into works. He's not into putting a burden on somebody. He's actually showing fruit of joy, peace, kindness. He's not showing fruit of, I learned how to serve God and it's been tough, and I'm here to describe to you what you need to stop doing so you can get with God too. No, what God does is actually produces in Paul, for example, and I don't know, I'm not out there, I never see him. But what he produces is light. And he produces a desirable fruit. That somebody says, that guy is always peaceful. How can he ever, how can I get that? How many got friends who are just, I mean, they're unpeaceful all the time. I mean, they've always stressed out. They've always got trouble. They're always freaking out. But you don't. You don't. Because you are confident that he's already provided all that I need. And you're not putting a burden on him. You're not putting a burden on him because it's not the burden that's not going to, it's going to have, say it again. The burden is not going to help him. A burden is not, they've already got a burden. And Jesus wants to take their burden off of them. Doesn't mean all the trouble's going to go away, but what it does mean is from the inside out, they're going to be at peace. But I'm going to talk to you about how peace is coming to you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and his long patience for it. You've got long patience. Do you know that? No, I don't. I'm just always crying out. No, I want you to know you have long patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and that's what you've got. Now, I didn't say pay attention to what your mind's doing, running 100 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour over here. I'm just saying thank God for His promise. He's the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeps my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Philippians. The peace of God, which passes understanding, I don't understand. I don't get it. Philippians 4, what is that? 2, 3, 4, 5. 4, 5, 6. 6 or 7. Say it again. Oh, yeah, read the whole thing. Philippians 4, read the whole thing. But that patience belongs to you. The peace of God belongs to you. Amen? Say it. The peace of God belongs to me. I walk in the peace of God. Okay, verse 8. Here in James 5. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. So establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Grudge not one against the other, brethren, talking to you, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands at the door. Take, my brethren, man, he's talking to the same people all the time. Take, my brethren, the prophets, for an example. Take the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Remember the prophets? You know, the guys who got boiled in oil and, you know, skewered, all these kind of things. Take the prophets, for example, of those who have suffered and had affliction, and take an example of patience. Verse 11. Behold, look carefully. We count them happy which endure. Huh? We count them miserable. Usually we count the miserable who endure. Huh? Amen? No, the Bible says we count them happy who endure. What did Jesus say? Blessed are the, you know, poor in spirit. All the Beatitudes are talking about people who it appears are, you know, unhappy, or people who would normally appear, you know, unhappy. Blessed are you when you are reviled and made fun of for my sake. Happy are you. Behold, verse 11, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. Oh, great. We're going to invoke Job now for the power, for patience. What I want to talk to you about patience today is the fact that the patience that you have, that you receive, is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's not something you work up. It's not something that you beat your body over or beat your mind up over. Some people want to do that. I'd be more patient. You know, it's just like any other work you try to perform. You know, be nicer, be kinder. You know, don't get angry. Be patient. You know, all of these things that you attempt, that you want to see, all the fruit that you want to see is not produced by your effort. Huh? You know, we like a religion that we can do it, because you can take what you want, leave what you want. Religion that is based on human effort is all about what I, you know, a little bit I can do, a little bit I can't do. If I can't do it, I won't do it. And if it's too hard, I won't try that. I'll just kind of stay away from it. It's a smorgasbord. Most religion is a smorgasbord, whether it's a Christian or Islam. You know, some of the Islams, they like to, yeah, go get it. Some of them like to just come to America and make money. But it's true of Jews, that's true of Islam, that's true of Christians. They're not serious. They have no seriousness. And of course, the only one that is from God, the only one that was provided for to get rid of the problem, which was sin, and to deliver you from the power of it, is Jesus. Christianity is the only one that is able to deliver you from the power of disobedience. That's the only one. The rest of them are works religion. If you'll do this, 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 and this, you'll make it. God will be happy with you. It's not Christianity. God is not into do this, this, and this, and you know, I'll be happy. Finally. Finally make God happy. No, God's already happy. He is already happy. He's having a good time. Amen? And He's just inviting you to come. He's just inviting you to come to a full banquet. He's inviting you to come to a full table. Amen? And He wants you to come every afternoon. He wants you to come every morning. He wants you to come every day. Amen? Because you have a heart that's been transformed and changed. You enter into His presence not from works of righteousness, but through faith. And faith is anytime. Amen? Faith is anytime. Faith is any moment. Faith is not Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Tuesday morning, as many times as you can. That's not faith. Faith is anytime, anywhere, any moment. Is hallelujah. My God is good. And it's not about you showing up somewhere. You just happen to show up because He moves you to show up there. Amen? Fruit is not produced because you did something. Fruit is produced because when you showed up, God was there. And what I'm talking about here today about patience is that same patience that God has put that on the inside of you. That you have it. I am at peace. I'm totally patient. I have total peace. You know, no matter what happens in my life, I'm totally at rest. Because now, when something comes, and granted, something may come and you'll go, you know. Anybody ever done that? I mean, there's one thing that comes and it tends to get you every time. You know, that's the one thing I'm going to say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that I just blew up right there. Because that's the one that you're working in. You're transforming me right there in that spot. The one thing I hate, the one thing that gets me worked up is the one thing where God loves you right there. You know, if you don't know that God loves you right there in that spot, you won't get past that spot. Amen? So I want you to rejoice when you get the next time you blow up in that one thing. Okay? That next thing, the next time that you, that one, or one, three, or five things, whatever they are, you may have more than one, like me. And when your flesh just goes inordinate, is to give thanks and praise and glory and honor and thank God for His mercy and His love. Thank God for His patience. That I endure. Happy am I. Happy am I. I'm enduring. Happy am I. Yeah, this thing, same person shows up. Where I'm supposed to be a light, this same person shows up every day and they are, pardon me, and they are darkness. I just can't stand this anymore. Anybody been like that? I just can't take any more. Sure you can. No, I can't. I love this talk, you know, because I know that so many people are right there. Is that, you know, I can't take this in. You know, it's like Popeye. You know, what is it? I've had all I can stand. I can't stand no more. So you're not going to, you can't stand anymore. Yeah, I'm just going to, I think it. I've come to the end. I had somebody call the other day. We're at the end of our rope. I understand that. I understand that. But you know what? It's in the flesh. Because in the spirit, you never run out of rope. You got to transfer from flesh to spirit. It can't always be fighting the devil, because if you're fighting the devil, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get tired. It's like the guys in the boat, you know. Lord, we didn't want to wake Jesus. The storm is, you know, we got to get this boat to land. Finally, it's just like, Jesus! Peace, be still. But that peace and be still is to the inward man. You know, the peace may not happen outwardly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The peace may not happen outwardly, but all of a sudden, inwardly, you're at peace. That's it. And I'm still. Because no matter what the outward circumstance, I know He has already handled it. I am living in heaven. I'm living in heaven already. Jesus, all kinds of trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Did your electricity get turned off? Did your house get repossessed? Did you lose your job? How about this? Is that inwardly, God can actually produce a fruit of patience and peace. You could name anything I'm not naming that is causing you strife and to be stirred up. And I'm going to tell you the same thing. You can come up with 25 situations, and I will tell you the same thing because the same thing is true. It's because Jesus has already dealt with that, but he's dealing with it inside you first. And I know that you need to feed your kids. I know you need to pay your car. I know you need to pay your house. I know you need to, you know, get the job. All of those things are true in this world. But he is working in you a transformation that says this world and its problems do not rule my heart. Let me say amen. See, this is all true. And that's what he's doing. He's separating you from the world, from the heart. You know, Hebrews 4:12 is our mainstay scripture for this, is that the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder completely between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God. If you look at Psalm 119, I've read it to you bunches of times. It's the separation that takes place because of the difference of what I think and what the Word has promised. What His Word says, His judgments, His Word, His judgments, His ways, His statutes, His precepts, His laws, everything He set in place. So much of the law is not about here's what you do, but what I've already set in place. If I take this pen and I do this, what law takes effect? Gravity. That's something that God produced. Amen? It's something that God produced. You know what? He produced a lot of laws. And a lot of those, and those laws are laws that He set in place for those who have believed. He set them in place. And so that when I believe, I'm at peace. When I believe, when He's given me His Word and His promise, I'm at peace. Now, there's this thing going on over here. This little item that's that just could take me down in my if I believed in my flesh. Right? But it's not going to happen. You remember I said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." You have heard of the patience of Job? Ooh. Didn't want to bring that guy up. I mean, you know, I thought I had problems. Right? You thought you had problems. Listen to this guy. Okay. And have seen the end. Okay, you've seen heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. What was the end of the Lord in Job? Blessing. Double. That the Lord is very full of pity and tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, well, I'm not going to keep going on that. Swear, don't swear. That's what he says. Okay. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1. He's talking about those who are the elect. And he's begotten us unto a living hope. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades away, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, a bunch of problems. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold which perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay, I want you to look over at Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Now you remember Job is talking to all these guys, and these guys are trying to figure out what Job's sin is so they can help him out. Right? Let's see, Job, we know you've committed sin. Nobody would be in trouble like this unless he had committed sin. We can go back to chapter 1, what did he say? God, what did God say? Hey, Satan, what you doing? Oh, just walking around. Just down there in the earth, going to and fro, walking up and down in it. And then God says, you know, here's what you want, is for God to point you out, right? Hey, have you considered my servant Job? Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't bring my name up to the guy. He is mean. Right? Yeah, you don't want people to, he's kind of like, don't jinx me. Don't mention that. Well, I'm glad there's no trouble in my life. Don't say that. So he said, have you considered my servant Job? A perfect man. So even God said the guy was great. And so here's all his friends, though. You know, Bildad the Shuhite and all those guys. And they're trying to help Job find out what his sin is, right? Because certainly all of this could not have happened. All of this could not have happened. You know, what did I do? Anybody ever ask that question? What did I do to cause all this to happen? Nothing. You're just bumping along. And you have a person who hates you. It's called the enemy, the devil. Or rain is falling on the just and the unjust. You just had a great opportunity to trust God. Anybody like that? Huh? What did I do? So many people are just going about, what did I do for God to let all this happen to me? Nonsense. Quit. Quit that stuff. It's silly. You know, because you're so religious. You know, you want to make God out to be somebody who's out following you out with a 2x4 when God gave Jesus the 2x4, right? He nailed him to it. But you think God's out chasing you down, trying to find out what you did wrong. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? I mean, the bulk of Christianity lives like that. They got trouble and they wonder, how come God's not helping them? And how come what they did was because God wouldn't help them. I do want you to get this. But listen to Job. Listen to Job. Verse 23, chapter 23, verse 1, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. What that means is, man, things is bad. Things are bad. Looking on the outward. He's looking on the outward. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Okay, anybody like that? Oh, that I knew where I might find him, find the Lord. I'm in trouble. I hope somebody's hearing me. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I can't even find the guy. I don't even have a map. I don't know how to get to God's town. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words for which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put his strength in me. Job knows this. He knows this. He says, would he plead against me with his great power? No, he would put his strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so I should be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward. And now here you are in trouble. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he does work, But I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, but I can't see him. Anybody feel like that? God's kind of like, where's God? Where's the guy? I can't find him. But he knows, listen to this, but he knows the way that I take. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than necessary food. As far as I know, I've been following God. What's going on? It's not you're saying you haven't sinned, but it's just as far as I know. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he does. For he performs the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence, and when I consider, I am afraid of him. For God makes my heart soft, and the Almighty troubles me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither has he covered the darkness from my face. I'm looking at this, and I thank God that he's saying this, is that I don't know. And many of you are this way. Man, I'm this way. We all hit circumstances are like this. I just don't know why this is happening. But one thing I do know is that when I am tried, I'll come forth as gold. What did Job say? When I'm tried, I'm coming forth as gold. I'm coming out on top. I don't know where he's, what I don't know what his thing is right now. I don't know what he's doing right now, but one thing I do know is that God is good, and he is manifesting and blessing me and working all things together for my good. Because his promise is that all things are working together for good to who? Them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. They cannot work any other way. Amen? Cannot, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible for it to work any other way. All things, what the devil intended for evil, the Lord turned it for blessing. That guy, he just can't win. You know, same thing with Job, right? Here, boy, look at this. I can do this and this and this and this. Everything but killing. God is doing great things in you because you live in him through the Holy Spirit. Fruit is coming forth. Patience comes forth because you are in him and because you know that you are separate from the world. Amen? You are separate from the world. And that when you are tried and pruned, you come forth as gold. Amen? So I know that when all the trials, one I'm thinking of in mine, when all this is taking place, I know that I will come forth as gold. That all things, that I cannot be harmed, I cannot be hurt. Now, people are looking at things and looking at how life has gone south and gone sour. But I'm telling you is that God is working in you to transform you. And that whatever is taking place in your life, in your family, in your existence, God is with you, he knows you, and what he is doing is transforming you into a vessel of light. Amen? He's transforming you into a vessel of light and of power. That's what he's doing. Because he loves you, and all things are working together for your blessing and for your good. You are the light of the world, and he is showing that light. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to stop there. God's doing a mighty work. Father, I just thank you this morning that your word transforms us, that we gird up the loins of our mind. We gird up the loins of our mind according to your promise, according to your truth. And Father, that you're transforming us from believing that this world is my enemy to I am a vessel in this world fit for your use. And Father, that those who come wondering what they've done wrong, Father, they've cast all of their burdens upon you right now this day. Cast all of their burdens and their cares upon you. And Father, thanking you that those things which are taking place in their life are actually pruning and causing them to walk and establish them and cause them to walk with full confidence in your promise. And we give you praise and glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.